Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
It's the South Florida Morning Show with Jennifer Ross and Bill Adams on News Talk 850 WFTL.
There's people. Get in! Get in the car! Get in the car!
Please, God, help!
Open the door, get in!
Hurry.
Come on, guys! Right here, get in!
Get in!
Wait,
get in, baby!
That would be a storm chaser in Abilene, Texas. Okay, it happened last Thursday. It went viral over the weekend. Now, this is one of these crazy guys that chases tornadoes.
Yeah.
He was literally driving through the rubble of what was left after a tornado hit this town near Abilene, Texas. And he sees a woman running toward him carrying a kid. And then he realizes there's two more people behind her. And a dog.
Oh, goodness.
So he screams to the woman, you know, jump in the car. Their son was thrown 25 feet, banged up. They all ended up in the hospital. The guy took them all to the hospital. They've all been released since then, and they're all going to be fine. But this guy, their house was totally destroyed.
Wow.
They were just running down the street in the middle of a tornado, and the guy's like, get in my car. I don't know what kind of car he was driving, but he fit all of them. But I mean, what are the odds that a storm chaser would save a family after their home was destroyed? I mean, that's pretty incredible.
You talk about right place, right time. Thank God he was there. That's just how scary is that? I mean, you just hear the panic and the fear
in
their voices in that moment. So
thankfully he was there. So you know what? I always call these guys crazy, but at least this crazy guy was in the right place at the right time to save somebody.
And this was your best story in the world.
Well,
right?
I mean, what are the odds that you're in the...
No, I mean, think about it.
You really just lost everything you own.
Yeah.
Your son is broken in pieces and you're running down the street carrying him with a tornado to your back. And all of a sudden, this guy pulls up in a car, and you're like, oh, my God. It was like a gift from God.
Yeah, for real.
To be quite honest.
I mean,
he saved him because God knows what would have happened. I don't know.
Right?
I'm sure the little boy would have lived, but he had a lot of broken bones, they said. So,
placed right there at the right time. Thank goodness. Jeez.
Isn't that good? See, that's my good story.
Good.
The other.
That can go on the morning show blog. We can put that there.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
All right, well, now you got
it. It's been a very busy morning.
I'm like, my head's spinning.
I know.
So you're going to have to find that video.
I can do it.
You find that video.
I will try,
And then I'll find the video. I think the other one should be the photo finish of the Kentucky Derby.
Good. Done. Okay. Consider it done. You put me back in my old jobs here over the morning show.
I don't have time is the only reason I say that. Two teens caught on dumping trash into the ocean last weekend. Well, not this past weekend, the weekend before, during South Florida's biggest boat party there, the Boca Bash. Police say a 15 and 16-year-old have been taken into custody. They were arrested on Friday.
Good.
Channel 10 in Miami found one of the kids on the boat. I think he was 15 or 16 years old, who was at the front of this boat. He said he didn't see the kids in the back dumping the trash. That's how big the boat was. He said there were 17 kids on this boat.
I mean,
that's a lot of kids.
Yeah, first off, that's too many.
Yeah.
Okay, this isn't a day cruise type of ship that you can go around. That's too many kids in one boat. Second of all, I'm glad they were caught, but also don't want their lives to be ruined at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, teach them a lesson. They're 15, 16 years old.
Yeah, they're kids.
They're just teenagers who, for whatever reason, weren't thinking.
Teenagers don't. I'm telling you, wait till your kids are teenagers. They don't think 10 seconds to the future. It's somewhere along the line, there's a synapse missing.
I don't understand.
The neurons don't fire right.
I mean, you got to have a better moral compass than that to throw trash in the ocean. But
These kids
could teach them a lesson, community service or something.
Yeah, I think that's what it should be because they could be hit with a $250,000 fine and 5 years in jail.
Yes.
You know what? What they did was horrific. I agree. Like I said, I think they should spend the next 2 years of their lives every weekend picking up the garbage on the beach.
Yes.
That'll teach them. And that's enough. Give them community service. And don't ruin a kid's life over something stupid like this. Anyway. And by the way, thanks to one of our listeners, if you have the Awesome 850 WFTL app, you can send us an email or a direct message. And somebody sent us a message on Friday that said, no, you do not need a license to drive a boat. Unless it's a public boat, like a ferry or something like that. So the odds are this was some, you know, rich kid on daddy's boat.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, you know, because it was a really nice boat.
It was.
So anyway.
Three engines on there.
They got to, does that make it a nice boat if it has three engines? Oh, okay, yeah. I don't know anything about that, but okay. We have that, and then we have our Florida dope of the day.
We do?
Oh, this guy's priceless.
I didn't know we had a Florida dope.
Yes, we do. Do we have that?
I was going to say I could try to find it, but if you want to just go ahead and you can say, listen, this is your call in this moment in time, okay?
We can save
the Florida dope story and I can try to find Bill's Florida dope sound.
Okay, we'll do that.
You want to do that?
We have a great Florida dope, okay? I'm just saying, don't pull a gun on a kid that's fishing. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Diener is kind of gloating this morning because his horse beat mine in the Kentucky Derby.
Darn right it did.
Okay. It beat it by, it was one of three that were, like, a nose-to-nose finish. It was the closest finish in the Kentucky Derby since 1996, at least according to my statistics. It came down to, well, you got the sound of the last like 5 seconds of this race?
Because
it was pretty impressive.
It actually is great.
But Diener's horse, Sierra Leone, came in second.
Yeah, I was close. I beat you at least.
I got news for you. If the other one hadn't, if your horse had taken over earlier, had gone into overdrive earlier, it might have won.
There was a lot of bumpy and stuff down the stretch. Yeah.
They get ugly there, let me tell you. Here's the ending. Yeah.
Forever young and Sierra Leone, keep on coming. Sierra Leone, forever young and Mystic Dan.
Oh.
A wild finish. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Woo, photo finish. And Mystic Dan ends up winning the 150th Kentucky Derby by literally a nose.
Yes.
It was a photo finish. Sierra Leone came in second. Forever young came in third. My horse came in, I think, fourth or fifth. Fierceness.
I think it was fifth or sixth somewhere. Oh, there.
Whatever. He wasn't in the top three. Oh, shut up. He wasn't in the top three. Put it that way. But it was really a pretty incredible race. And that Sierra Leone and Mystic Forever Young, they were slamming into each other. I thought the jockeys were going to pull each other off of the horses. I was like, my God, you two are going at it.
That is a tough job. Profession. I mean, those guys, they don't get enough credit, honestly. Being a jockey is really hard.
Oh, it's, and you know what? I have ridden horses all my life. I have never quite understood how you have any control being that high up in a saddle. Because all of your control with the horse is your legs. Most of it, you know, your legs and your butt, to be quite honest with you. But you're a foot above.
Yeah.
All you got is the little feet, you know, your ankles. That's it.
I don't know how they do it.
And you're holding on. I don't know how they do it either, to be quite honest with you. So anyway, that's how it ended. And Diener's horse beat mine, so he's gloating.
That's right.
Okay, are you happy now?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
I'm the champion.
All right, when we get back, we have Floor Dope. And where is Donald Trump today? Because, again, he was all over the place this weekend.
Hard to keep track of.
It really is. He's like, where's Dora? What was it?
Dora the Explorer?
No, Sandy. What's it? Carmen San Diego.
There you go.
We have Where's Donald Trump. It's all coming up next right here at 850 WFTL. It's the South Florida Morning Show. Jennifer Ross, Bill Adams, still enjoying his time off. Every time. By the way, is he doing like the brewery tour? He's gone to every beer place there is in North Carolina. Time I turn around, he's at a different brewery. I'm like, are you just drinking your way through North Carolina?
I'm convinced he's gone forever.
He might be.
He'll be back on Wednesday, or so we're told.
So we're told. Watch, we'll get a call on Tuesday. Sorry, guys. I got an eye problem. Yeah. I don't see myself coming in tomorrow. Anyway, Diener's here. Thank you, Diener. I appreciate
it. Sure.
We're going to get to our floor dope because Diener found the sound, which is even better.
So proud.
But let's tell you where Donald Trump is. First, it was the epic fundraiser for the weekend. He had a luncheon on Saturday at Mar-a-Lago. They were at the Ocean Club. They were at Mar-a-Lago raising millions and millions of dollars. It was kind of like, you're right, it was kind of like the apprentice tryout for the vice presidential candidates, because anybody who's allegedly on the VP list was there, including Senator Tim Scott. I do like him, by the way, but he's not my first choice. Somebody else. Vivek was there, but yeah. I don't think the Schwam's going to be the vice president. I think he's going to play a different role. I think DeSantis may be in the running for attorney general.
He would be a good fit there.
I'm just saying that would be my... If I'm picking his cabinet, this is where I'm putting people.
Okay.
Marco Rubio. I would put Marco Rubio in foreign relations.
I was going to say, like Secretary of State.
State, yeah.
Yeah.
He's good at negotiating. Kristi Noem, I would leave her in North Dakota.
She might say South Dakota,
Dakota. I always get her confused.
Yeah,
it's
Dakotas.
North, South Dakota, whatever. Which one is she with? South.
South.
South Dakota. Yeah, she not only killed her dog off in this book because she said it was untrainable, but she was she was on Meet the Depressed or Face the Nation or whatever the heck it was yesterday, and she was talking about Joe. Do you have that cut? Can I
of
put you on the spot?
Of course I do.
She was talking about Joe Biden's dog. That bit, was it Commander?
Commander,
It Commander? So here's what she had to say. Mm-hmm.
Joe Biden's dog has attacked 24 Secret Service people. So how many people is enough people to be attacked and dangerously hurt before you make a decision on a dog?
Before you make a decision okay. on a dog.
She was purely saying, just to put things in perspective, saying that the dog should have been taken out of the White House long before it was, because it bit 24 people, and it was mostly Secret Service people.
So am I being unfair? Because it makes
sense. No, she was. People are now saying that she was also saying that Joe Biden should have had the dog taken out.
I mean, we're kind of putting words in her mouth. I understand that, and that's kind of what the mainstream media is doing to her this morning, saying that she's
killing her.
Intimating that Biden's dog should have been killed. But what did she mean, right? Because that's how I took it, too, because she's already done that to her own dog.
I think what she was trying to say was the dog should have been taken away from the White House.
Make a decision and leave the White House?
Yeah, that situation long before it bit 24 people. So it was like, how many people does it have to bite before you do something?
Brutal.
Not kill it, just Brutal. Move it. Well, he gave one of the dogs, I don't know, there was Commander, and I forget the other one, it was also biting people, gave that dog to his best friend. I'm thinking... Boy, you're not much of a friend if you give me a dog that bites. Jeez. So anyway, that was Trump on Friday and Saturday. After he left the courthouse on Friday, he flies into Mar-a-Lago, has all these fundraisers. And then yesterday, he shows up at the Miami Grand Prix. And I don't know what team he went to visit. They showed him visiting a garage. That team ended up winning the race. So they're like, Trump's like, now they're good luck charm.
It is funny,
so,
isn't it?
It was just so funny that, and he went under the tunnel, and before he hit the tunnel, he was waving to people. And
it's amazing, by the way, just quick side note on that, what they're able to do. I mean, they build a grandstand right outside the stadium. This is the parking lot of Hard Rock Stadium. I mean, people tailgate out there before Dolphins games and Hurricanes games. And they turn it into an F1 racetrack with
isn't
a grandstand.
Do you realize how tight those turns have to be, though?
Yeah,
you think about it. Well, isn't that what Grand Prix is all about?
Yeah.
When they go through those roads in France, at like Monaco, it's like they don't have any room.
No,
people are just like all hanging off the walls on the side. I'm thinking, what if you get drunk enough and you fall? Do you fall right into the track?
That's true. It reminds me of I'm a nerd, but if you know, then you know. It reminds me of Star Wars with the pod racing. In episode 1, because we were actually just watching over the weekend, where young Anakin is doing the pod racing, and you have to have, these crazy reflexes. Like, the only people who can do it are Jedi, because they have to have, Jedi reflexes. And I'm watching this scene, I'm like, these are, F1 drivers. Like, these Formula 1 drivers literally have, superhuman reflexes to be able to do what they do.
Yeah,
I mean, they drive over 200 miles per hour.
It's crazy.
Same thing with NASCAR drivers, too, really. I mean...
By the way, the NASCAR, I don't know who won NASCAR. I don't know if it was a Kyle Busch or one of those kids.
Kyle Larson, I think.
Larson?
I think that's what you told
it
me.
Was the it's the closest it's ever been in the history of NASCAR racing. They said he won by, and I may be misquoted, but it was like 0.0001
oh, geez.
Seconds. That's how close this race was. And it was, and he ended up winning the race. So I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Man, you know, that's like a dead heat. I don't even know how you tell the difference.
They had to go back. The announcers called the other kid that was there, the other guy that was there. They made him the winner, and they announced it as such. We think it's blah, blah, blah is the winner, and it wasn't. It was the
other
kid, Kyle Larson. So that's pretty cool. But the closest it's been ever in the history of NASCAR racing. That's really, really is incredible. And this is even more incredible.
Yes.
Okay.
Florida, are we ready?
Okay. This, yeah, this is this is our Florida of the day. He fits the category.
The Florida dope of the day.
Hey, man!
No, you're so dumb.
I'm so proud of myself. I found that sound.
I am so proud of you, too, considering you have access to Bill's folder. It wasn't that difficult.
Don't tell him I was rummaging through his files.
As long as it's just his files you're rummaging through.
Well.
Okay, when you're the president of the Homeowners Association... We all know about HOA. Have you ever lived in a neighborhood with an HOA?
No, but I know how they. I know how they go.
I lived in a neighborhood twice, actually three times, and I think I get fined once a week.
I could see that.
Once was because I dated a guy who, when I first moved here, he had a motorcycle, and they weren't allowed to park in the parking lot.
Right.
Because God forbid it would be like a Hell's Angels that I'm dating. So we ended up parking it inside the condo.
Really?
It was on the first floor, yeah. So he'd turn the engines off and roll it in.
Oh, jeez.
They finally figured out that we had a Harley inside the house, that we got in trouble there. The next time was the condo that my brothers and I bought for my parents in Vero Beach. They didn't like the fact that my kids kept on showing up there.
Wow.
They were too young.
Oh, wow.
So I got in trouble there. And then once was when we our home in Stewart, the first time I lived there. They fine me like once a week. You have a broken fence. Fix it or we're going to fine you $150. I'd be like, you had to go through the bushes to see the fence.
I could not live with those restrictions. HOAs are just not, it's not my thing.
Well, this guy fits the epitome of why people hate HOAs.
Oh.
His name's 56-year-old Kyle Tate. He's from Palm Bay.
Okay.
He's been arrested on felony charges of criminal mischief and grand theft.
Oh, wow.
Why?
No, boy.
He lives in Stillwater Lakes. It's a subdivision. And a bunch of kids apparently go there to fish in the lake at this subdivision. Well, he decided to take it upon himself to say it was his lake and to stop these kids from fishing there. How did he do it? He pulled a gun on them.
Oh, gosh.
Threatened their lives, and then he took all of their fishing, their rods, their reels, their tackle boxes, threatened to have them arrested. Here's the mother of the 7 and 10-year-old.
Oh, jeez.
I'm sorry. Did you have that sound?
And you labeled it so nicely, so I'm able to play it for you.
It was startling. He's still super shaken up knowing, like, on a daily basis, we have to drive by this subdivision where this man lives. This man truly hurt not only my kids' love for fishing, now he's afraid to do it, but he's also hurt our family because now we have to relive this incident over and over again.
Oh, it's terrible.
She's talking about the 7-year-old is traumatized. Jeez. So I'm assuming that dear old Kyle here, Tate, is going to be facing more charges. He was arrested and then he posted bond. And
he pulled a gun on a 7-year-old?
Yeah.
What a psycho.
Yeah, 7, 10, and 15-year-old.
My God. Gosh.
But it was the 7-year-old that's been... The 15-year-old didn't do much better, but the 7-year-old is traumatized because of this Yahoo.
I would love to just throw this guy against the wall.
Well, you know what?
Jeez.
He may be... He's a little bit... This is what happens with HOAs. You give them a little power, they get a little bit crazy.
That Florida dope incensed me.
I'm sorry.
What a horrible person.
Hey, you know what we got coming up next?
What?
Rapid fire.
Oh, good gosh.
Go look for some stories, would you please? It's when we all come to the table with stories that should enlighten you, if we can find any between now and then. We'll be back in just a minute.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Snapple. Welcome to the Snapple Market Auditory Experience. Close your eyes. Imagine you're walking into your neighborhood store. You make your way to the back and reach for your favorite Snapple flavor. You can't wait. You take a sip. Whoa, that's a lot of flavor. What flavor are you holding? Now open your eyes and check out Snapple.com to find ridiculously flavorful Snapple near you.
Time for Jen and Bill's Rapid Fire on News Talk 850 WFTL.
Oh, this is where we all come to the table and we bring stories with us that you can carry with you for the rest of the day or the rest of the week and
or the rest of your life.
Amaze your coworkers and your family and friends. I don't know what you would do with this information, but Diener's talking about Little Chubby. I know that much, right?
Oh, yeah, I got something on him.
You got something on Little Chubby. And by the way, if you don't know who Little Chubby is, if you go to our blog at 850 WFTL, we have a vocabulary, Fred, just for us and our listeners.
You have to go way down and search, but you can search it.
Diener put that up for a while. Yeah. This is my favorite story of the day because I love when people get their comeuppance. Hims and Hers founder and CEO. We talked about this guy on Friday because on Thursday night, Andrew Dudum posted on X that all of these ingrates, these anti-Semites, these disturbing little privileged cretins that have been on college campuses screaming and yelling anti-Semitic things and saying horrific things and stopping students from having regular students having a normal life. He said, you know what? I know all these other companies are after you, and I paraphrase. So I'll tell you what, all of you protesters who have been arrested, don't worry about that arrest record. Don't worry about having it expunged. Come work for me. Send me your resumes. I'll gladly accept you at Hims and Hers. And then he asked all of his other CEO buddies to do the same thing. Well, apparently nobody else took it up.
We were talking about this on Friday. We said it was going to backfire big time on this guy.
I'm so glad it backfired. He is now back on X, and this is what he said. I have to clarify a few things because my words have been misconstrued by some.
Sure.
Why is it that always the people on the left have to say my words have been misconstrued? It's not my fault that you misunderstood what I was saying. It's your fault. I in no way condone nor support acts of threats of violence, anti-Semitism, or intimidation. There is absolutely no justification for violence on our campuses. Every student should deserve to feel safe. Blah, 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 blah. What brought it all about? Stock in his company fell 8% on Friday.
There it is.
There it is. And it's continuing to tumble, apparently, after hours. So he may wake up to a very rude awakening today. If you have stock in Hims and Hers, get rid of it.
It's just amazing the bubble that these people live in. I mean, how do you not understand what's going on?
I don't know. It's the craziest thing in the world. But you know what? He got what he deserved, and I hope his company goes
good.
Anyway.
Well, what was the name, Jen, before I get to Kim Jong-un, of the district attorney guy from Georgia with
Nathan Wade. Okay. You're going to tell everybody what his famous quote was?
I would like to talk about Nathan Wade, yes, because this broke this morning. Actually, he said it last night in an interview on 60 Minutes or one of those shows. You know,
Meet the Depressed, whatever.
One of those stupid shows. And they were asking him about his affair with Fannie Willis there in Georgia. So I'm pretty sure you're familiar with the story, but if you're not, that was, you know, the Trump Georgia case, the election interference. They were trying to throw him in jail for election interference, and Fannie Willis hires this guy, Nathan Wade, who we come to find out she was having an affair with and using taxpayer money on credit cards to book all these hotels so they can go sleep together and have their secret affair. And then she just happens to hire him as, you know, the special prosecutor on this on this team.
Although most attorneys said he wasn't qualified to be the special the prosecutor on this case.
So no conflict of interest there at all.
None. Right?
So he's being interviewed about all this last night, and they're talking about the affair, and the affair is out there. Like, they've admitted to that because they know there's no way to lie. They were caught red-handed. So instead of just, you know, saying, I'm sorry, this and that, he comes out and says, listen, workplace affair, no big deal. Everybody does it.
Oh, really?
It's as American as pie. That was a direct quote. As American as pie.
How do you like that?
This guy has the gall. This is his play to come out and say, workplace affair, meh. Everybody
no big deal.
Does it.
It's your fault
big
that
deal.
You don't like it.
How do you think his wife, you think he used that line on his wife?
Okay. Now
he said, honey, everybody does it. It's American as pie.
You got to remember, the reason they got caught was because of the wife.
That's right.
The ex-wife. She turned in all of because that's how she found out he was having an affair. He had text messages and all this other stuff. Kept on going on these business trips with Fannie Willis. She figured it out. I mean, you know, there's no hell hath no fury like a woman scorned, as they say.
So I guess the line didn't work on his wife. He went home and said, honey, look, everybody does it.
Yeah, everybody has an affair. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
What
thing.
A bum.
What a jerk.
My gosh.
By the way, this is health advice today that I actually agree with. Usually I hear this stuff and I go, you know what?
Yes.
I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't run 5 miles a day or walk 5 miles a day. However, this is a fitness expert focusing on 3 different types of movement each week. And this is for everybody, but it was basically for people over 50. Okay?
Okay.
Every day movement. So that includes walking, stretching, bending, doing stuff every day. And that's the first step. So that go for a walk. Walk around the block. Walk around your house. Walk around the backyard. Do something.
Yeah.
Athletic movement, meaning you should do true cardio or weight training. So not every day, but maybe a couple of times a week. The more varied, the better. So walk one day, maybe weights the next day. We're not talking a lot of weights, you know, like little 2.5 pound weights in your arms, okay? The other one, which I agree with, social movement.
What does that
mean? Also involving other people. In other words, don't be a hermit because it'll have a horrible effect on your well-being in general. So they say take up things like golf or dancing or pickleball, whatever it is, but it's going to be something you enjoy so it becomes a habit for you. But that way it keeps you active, it keeps you socially involved, and you don't become a loner, which leads to severe depression many times.
Maybe I'll take up ballet. That'll help me.
That's not a team sport.
Oh,
but
very well.
That's okay. Only you would say ballet.
I'll finish off with this.
Only you. Jeez.
Well, you can't see me in tights?
No.
No?
No. I have a hard time seeing you in shorts. Never mind tights. Okay,
shorts
moving right
sandals,
along.
Though,
okay,
yeah.
Moving right along.
I'll finish with this because we have Jay Ratliff coming up here in Flight 850. If you're on TikTok today,
yes,
for as long as it may last here in the States, we'll see what happens there. Just watch out for this new North Korean propaganda song, which is going viral.
North Korean propaganda?
So this is actually going viral, so you may come across it at some point this week. It's a song praising Kim Jong-un.
Oh, great.
And it's gone viral on TikTok, which is why I mentioned TikTok specifically. It's not just, you know, a bait and switch there. It's viral on TikTok, and it's called Friendly Father.
Oh, that little chubby.
That's right.
Kim Jong-un.
And it's making the rounds, and barely it's a number one hit, Jen.
Do you have a...
No, I don't. I don't have Friendly Father queued up. But just a warning not to fall for any North Korean propaganda on TikTok this week.
That little chubby's a nice guy is basically what they're saying. Telling me?
That's right.
Okay.
Great guy. He's a friendly father.
This is a guy that kills people. This is a guy that, by the way, when his uncle who sat on his cabinet fell asleep in a cabinet meeting, took him outside and killed him with a missile.
Yeah.
Okay,
shot a missile at him. That's right.
He's a great guy.
They see him as a god. He's like a deity there. It's insane.
Well, it's because they're fearful.
Get shot with a missile.
Number one, you're going to get killed with a missile, but number two, you know no better.
Yeah.
This is what you were born into. They have it's like a 30-foot-tall statue in gold of this guy.
Right.
And when he dies, his crazy sister takes over, and she's nuttier than he is.
She is.
So be happy that he's still there. Anyway, when we get back, a thing not to do and how you get caught with snakes in your pants.
Oh, okay. Oh, my.
And it happened You think Diener in shorts is bad. You should see a guy with snake in his pants. Anyway, it's coming up next with Jay Ratliff in Flight 850. I promise, right here, 850 WFTL. Now it's the South Florida Morning Show. Jennifer Ross, Bill Adams has a couple of days off. Diener back, as Jay Ratliff just said, from the ivory tower.
That's right. Made my way down to mingle.
Oh, this is why I love Jay so much, even though I don't approve of, you know, flying, as we all know. By the way, here's a little inside tip. How do you tell if a guy has snakes in his pants?
Okay.
Just going to leave it at that. Apparently it happened right here in Miami. So we're going to get to that with Flight 850.
Wow.
Now boarding.
It's Flight 850 with aviation expert Jay Ratliff on News Talk 850, WFTL.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are cleared for takeoff.
Number one, I don't know who wants to put a snake down his pants. Number two, why you would do such a thing. But more importantly, Jay Ratliff, how do you tell a guy's got snakes in his pants?
Well, you know,
I'm sorry, just be careful here, okay?
So many ways. Now, if it's the full body imaging scan, it's pretty obvious that there's something there that the TSA needs to investigate. If somebody's coming through the process, just going through the normal, golden arches, x-ray type of thing, if something's moving in somebody's pants, they're probably going to look at that too. But, you know, one of the things is, Jen, there's a market for people that are transporting animals, exotic animals, those types of things. And, you know, here we had a situation where someone had a container that normally would hold eyeglasses, and he had a couple of these smaller snakes in them tucked into his pants. The TSA found them. Discovered them. They called the Customs and Border Protection. They come out and take care of the animals like that. And I don't know if this gentleman was detained, fined, even arrested. It's really going to depend because, if they were his pets, which he could claim they were, it's not like he's got, 53 baby turtles in his suitcase he's trying to transport, which has happened. We've seen that before. And, Jen, I can tell you when I was at Northwest Airlines, you would frequently get a phone call from security, the checkpoint, saying, Jay, can you come down here for a minute? And on the way down, you're thinking, oh, okay, what in the world did we find today? And, where somebody was trying to transport drugs through, or the people that would put their little cat in a carry-on bag trying to hide it until it went through this x-ray machine.
Oh,
and,
God.
Of course, they see the little ears moving, so they know there's an animal in there. So, there's always something. So, it's almost as though if you want the most, surprising job in the world, one of them would be go work for the TSA and just see what happens at the security checkpoint, because it's never boring. There's people will never let you down with regards to things that they'll try to do, try to pull off, the way they act, whatever might happen to be. And any of these agents who say, well, I've seen it all, you don't know what you're talking about, because don't ever underestimate people, because there's always the opportunity for something new happening, especially with the stuff we talk about, like, not snakes on a plane so much as snakes in somebody's pants.
Let me ask you a question, though. If you were to, obviously, I think he's smuggling these things in because they're not allowed to go wherever he was going from Miami to wherever. But if you were to transport snakes on a plane, no pun intended, is there a way to move exotic animals? Do you have to declare it all and put them in a special carrier and they go in the cargo? Is that how that works?
Well, there's normally a ton of paperwork that's assigned with that. And more often than not, it's handled in such a way where it's cargo. And the cargo has the manifest. It's something that's very well documented. All the agencies that need to be involved in that type of thing take place. I've seen, one time when they were just transporting thousands of little white mice that were going from one facility to another, and it was in a rainstorm in Miami that was just torrential. and they were loading these cardboard boxes into the plane. Well, by the time it gets to Atlanta, they open it up. Those boxes had all gotten so wet that there was nothing but mice through the cargo compartment.
My God.
All over the bags. People were freaking out big time.
Normally, it's
yeah, I just want to see the eyes of the first person that popped that bin to start doing the bags, and all of a sudden you see thousands of white mice running around.
That's hysterical. All right, I got to ask you a question. I'm going to skip the second one there that you sent to this. But this guy on United Airlines, he caused a plane to be diverted. Now he's being fined $20,000?
Yes, and I love it, and you should too.
Okay.
Because this is a guy who's flying United Airlines, I think it's Europe to Newark, and London to Newark, and he's getting into an argument with his girlfriend. The flight attendants ask him to keep it down. He's unwilling to do so, so they declare an emergency. They land in Bangor, Maine. He and his girlfriend are taken off the plane, and the plane goes on without him. United comes back and says, not only are the two of you never going to fly United Airlines again, that diversion cost us $20,628.
Whoa.
You will be paying us this back. Jen, I would love to see, just like the old post office pictures, I don't think they still have them, where you can put this guy's picture up, the amount of money that he was fined underneath it, and his name as well, and put this at every TSA security checkpoint in the country so that everybody who flies can see, wow, these people, there were consequences for acting like a complete ass on a flight. And, of course, it would give our wives a chance to kind of elbow us and go, don't you be that guy. So not that, you know, it would prevent that type of behavior, but at least it would at least remind people, look, if you act up, there are consequences that you could be facing. And we've seen these reimbursement things go up above $30,000 before. So
wow.
I'm glad to see it. If you're going to inconvenience a flight where everybody could miss their connecting flight, yeah, you deserve to pay for it.
Oh, good. Well, maybe other airlines will take note. Okay,
not
I got
to ask enough, though. Yeah,
I got to ask you this because I heard it on the way in this morning. There is a new airline, a new plane, a new service where it's for dogs only, and that the dogs don't have to be in containers and they can run up and down the aisles and mingle with all the other dogs. Is this true?
Well, it's a slight curveball, so forgive me, but I think you're talking about Bark Air.
That's it.
B-A-R-K. You can take your dog. It's for you and your dog. They have it a white paw service, they call it. And you can do it for only $16,000.
What?
Hey, you're the one that brought it up. You got that much money to
16,000?
Drop. So, yeah.
Excited that it was like, you know, you could bring your dog and it was no big deal.
Oh, yeah. You spend $16,000 and you can get excited all you want because it's you and the dog because – you need to look it up because people are already thinking you and I are making all this stuff up, but it's not. They're based, I believe, in the Northeast, and they launched, it was earlier this year. In fact, it may have been last month, their service, Bark Air. But, yeah, it's – and I always like to see these because the thought is people are willing to pay, you know, X amount to do this, and typically it doesn't stick around because you have people that are still price-sensitive. And sometimes there's just not a market for stuff like this, or it may be a rousing success, and they expand all over the country. I could be wrong. I'd love to be wrong because I'd love seeing animals pampered this way. But for $16,000, wow, you and your dog.
It's too much money. Well, Jay Ratliff, if people want to get in touch with you, where do they go? Because we got to say goodbye.
Yeah, jratliff.com. That's my business website for the day trading. But any airline issues, problems, get a hold of me through there. And by all means, I'll help you hold these airlines accountable, which is what I love to do.
Okay, I'm going to go make my reservations on Bark Airlines.
Bark Air. It's just Bark Air. Yep.
Bark Air. Okay.
Worth checking out.
Okay, thanks so very much. We'll talk to you next week. Coming up next, in the event you missed it last night, 3 hours dedicated to the GOAT and my boyfriend. Oh, Tom Brady, but Peyton Manning stole the show. It's all coming up next.
It's the South Florida Morning Show with Jennifer Ross and Bill Adams on News Talk 850 WFTL.
But believe it or not, I've got a lot of nice things to say about Tom, but I'm running out of time here. I see your soccer team, Birmingham City, got knocked down to another tier in the English Football League, so they suck. Not so easy running a team, is it, Tom?
Well, that would have been the former Patriots coach, Bill Belichick, roasting the GOAT himself, Tom Brady. Last night, live on Netflix, and thank goodness it was on Netflix because it's pretty vulgar in parts.
It was very raunchy.
Yeah, they're all, it's a bunch of guys, you know, that, well, Kim Kardashian was there as well, but some of the stuff they said about her after she left was even worse. I was like, oh my God. But I think Peyton Manning.
You ready?
You ready? Can you find Peyton
for
me? Peyton Manning, because they're really good friends, but he kind of stole the show for me.
The last time Tom Brady had to wait this long to get on stage, it was the 2000 NFL draft.
When did he go? What round?
Sixth round, number 199.
Yeah,
this one was good,
really,
too, though.
And this one was really good, too, yeah.
It is great to be here with a bunch of people sitting around talking smack about Tom Brady. Or as we call that in the Manning family, Thanksgiving.
But not to be outdone. I mean, he sat there for 2.5 hours listening to people just trash him.
Yeah.
Tom Brady had this to say about at least Peyton Manning.
Peyton, I know sometimes you live in Denver and sometimes you live in Louisiana, but you'll always live in my shadow.
Scorch him right there.
Really good.
Anyway, it was, if you, I'm sure it's still available on Netflix.
Oh yeah.
It's a lot of locker room humor. I'll just leave it at that.
Can I read this? I will censor myself, obviously.
Okay, go ahead.
But there's one joke I can't even censor myself. It was actually Julian Edelman, who, you know, former receiver.
You're
of the Patriots.
You're not going to tell this joke.
I can't tell the joke, but he did.
Oh,
make
and we talked
the joke
about this. About off, Aaron Hernandez. Oh, my God.
Off the air, I came in here last week with you and Bill. And, you know, we still catch up and everything like that, right? So after the show, sometimes I'll come into the studio and Jen, Bill, and I will just catch up on stuff and things like that. And I was talking to Bill and I said, you know, with this roast coming up with Tom Brady, I'm like, someone's going to make an Aaron Hernandez joke, aren't they? He's like, yeah. He's like, I don't know who it's going to be. Well, they did. It was Julian Edelman.
Of all people.
He did, the former receiver. I can't even make the joke. I can't say what he said, but he made an Aaron Hernandez joke. But Dana White came on, of course, you know, UFC president and everything, and he said he was angry at Netflix for only giving him 60 seconds to roast Tom Brady. He said, it makes me angry. I flew all the way out here, and you guys give me 60 seconds. My name is Dana. Is that not trans enough for you, you liberal jerks?
No.
That was Dana White.
I gotta give him credit.
Like I said, I had to censor a lot of that. So
yeah, I'm sure it's yes. There's a lot of profanity. So if you're getting ready to watch that, and while we're on sports, I hate to throw you under the bus,
but
Dieter was excited about this. By the way, it's the South Florida Morning Show. I'm Jennifer. Bill's still he's touring all of North Carolina, I swear, and he's stopping by every brewery that he can find. Dieter, he used to be with our show, and in the event you didn't hear on Friday or on Thursday, we didn't run him out of town. Dieter willingly left us. We begged him to stay, but he left because he is now upper, lower, middle management.
Yes, as Bill likes to call it.
Or something,
yes.
However Bill puts it. But we picked on Friday, we picked our Kentucky Derby winners. I picked Fierceness purely based on its name, not realizing it was the favorite. You picked who?
Sierra Leone.
And this is when it came down to the wire.
Forever Young and Sierra Leone, keep on coming. Sierra Leone, Forever Young and Mystic Dan, a wild finish. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
And the interesting part was Mystic Dan was the one who won.
That's right.
It was like, holy cow, the horse. Sierra Leone was along the rail. Not along the rail. Was it Mystic Dan was along the rail?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Sierra Leone and the
on
other
the
one there, Forever Young, come in from the outside out of nowhere. I mean, they turned it on in the last corner. And they are fighting back and forth. And Sierra Leone, your horse came in second.
I was so close.
Lost
and I was
nose,
sitting there cheering
literally.
Because Killian picked Mystic Dan. I can't believe my son picked the winning horse. And so did Kristen. So they were both celebrating because they won. And they beat me in a photo finish. I have to sit there all you know, dejected that my horse lost by a nose.
I'm sorry, your
horse. It was all good
fun. Mine came in fourth or fifth.
Yeah, I beat you, so that's all that really matters.
That's all you care about. Let's be honest. You don't give a crap about anything other than the fact that you beat me.
Yes.
I'll tell you what we're going to have on tomorrow's show, though, and I'm sure it'll make the blog. What do we put up on the blog, by the way?
Actually, we have that photo finish
from
the race.
Okay.
And the Storm Chaser, which we'll probably cover again here in the hour because it's an unbelievable story.
Yeah, this guy truly was a hero. But on tomorrow's blog, I could probably guarantee that we will have, I don't know if Gaga shows up in a meat suit or in an egg or whatever she's going to be in. I don't know. But she usually steals the show at the Met Gala. So that's, you know, it's fashion's big night. It's a big fundraiser. It's all the weirdos come out.
That's true.
And tonight's theme is Sleeping Beauty's Reawakening Fashion. Vogue has hinted that the dress code inspired by this short story, The Garden of Time, will see many botanical and floral looks.
Oh,
we shall see.
Lady Gaga is going to come dressed up as a rose bush.
Yeah, it could very
That's
well
what's
be.
Happen.
Or one big thorn. Yeah. One never knows.
Who else always comes into some crazy outfits is Jared Leto. I'm looking forward to seeing
really?
He does.
Well, Blake Lively usually shows up with her husband, but it's usually Ryan Reynolds. Kim Kardashian will be there on the red carpet.
I'm a big Blake Lively fan. Big fan.
Well, a lot of men are
big flake.
Okay, easy. Boy, this was all just fluff stuff.
Oh, that's fine.
Do I have any time left?
Yeah, you have about 30 seconds.
Oh, well, okay, in 30 seconds. It's National Nurses Day.
Good.
And it's also the kickoff of Teacher Appreciation Week.
Very good.
For Nurses Day, Chipotle is offering healthcare professionals a free burrito, but you have to enter to win one this week. I don't know. I guess you go to their website and you can. I'm thinking that's a lot of work for a free burrito.
I know, right?
Just give them a burrito.
Just give them a burrito.
Let them show up with their badge and say, hey, here, you know what? I work at here. Give me a free something. Who put teachers and nurses? I never quite understood this because when I was with WRMF years ago, we would have a party for nurses and a party for teachers. And it was like, why did you have to do it in the same week? Could you not take these professions and switch them up?
They really should have their own spotlight.
Have a week in the middle, at least. I agree. So anyway, happy teachers, happy nurses day. When we get back, we can talk about the Storm Saver. Storm Chaser, who turned into a Storm Saver. Anyway, that and so much more coming up next at 850 WFTL.
There's people. Get in! Get in the car. Please. Get in the car.
Please, God, help.
Open the door. Get
Hurry.
In. Come on, guys. Right here. Get in.
Get in.
Get in.
Buddy, get in, baby.
That would be our hero of probably the year. Let's be honest. I mean, how many times are you in the right place at the right time? That is a storm chaser outside of Abilene, Texas. This happened on Friday, but it went viral over the weekend. He's chasing a tornado. And he looks up, and I mean, there's stuff blowing all over the place. It was just like watching Twister. And he sees a woman running down the street carrying a kid.
Goodness.
And he's like, oh my God, there's people in the street. Their home just got totally demolished. It was a family of four and a dog. The kid was thrown something like 25 feet. He had a number of broken bones, they said. And the mother picked him up and was running with him. Tornado's right behind him. And this storm chaser just happens to be there to get in the car and saves them all and the dog and takes them to the hospital.
God love him. What a story. Again, right time, right place. I mean, thank God he was placed there at that time to save
him. Isn't that amazing?
It's just so scary.
Thank God they're all okay.
My gosh.
Did we find that and put that up on? Is that on our
blog? It's on the blog.
It's on. Oh, well, sure thanks. Is. See, look at your back.
I'm back. It's like
you're back, baby. Thank you so very much.
Telling you.
That and I think our photo finish from the Kentucky Derby is also up there.
Weekend highlights.
So
you did.
How do you like that? I did work this morning. Who's also working this morning, though, back in the courtroom for the hush money case of Donald Trump in New York. First, I mean, he leaves there Friday. You know, he's not supposed to say anything, and he keeps on. I guess he doesn't care if he gets fined or if he goes. Maybe he's hoping they put him in jail. I don't know. But he always holds these little press conferences after the fact. And it's like, you're going to get in trouble again because you're under this gag order.
He's got to talk. He can't help himself.
So anyway, Hope Hicks ended things on Friday. She did not say many nice things about Michael Cohen, the attorney who's behind all of this hush money situation. She said he never was an altruistic man. He never did anything unless it benefited him, basically. Or he was never very concerned about other people. They never came first. So that's how it ended. The prosecution hasn't said who their witness is going to be today, if it's going to continue to be Hope Hicks or somebody new. So we shall find out when everybody else does. A big news for Boeing, and we're not talking about one of their planes being in big trouble. The first launch of their Starliner space capsule with humans aboard is scheduled to blast off tonight, 10:34, from the Kennedy Space Center.
I forgot about this. Actually, I believe I might have you scooped on this, Jen, which is very unusual when it comes to space and launches. But according to our Space Monkey app, because I know we both have this little app here with a little space monkey on the front.
Yes, yes, yes.
There is a launch in 4 hours and 15 minutes.
Oh, at 12-something this afternoon.
Ah, so you did know.
I know. Well, come on. Are you kidding me? I'm the space geek around here.
12:36, SpaceX goes up. Starlink satellites.
Yeah, more satellites. They go up. Honest to God, like most people change their underwear. Let's be honest.
They go
because
up a lot. Yeah.
They're going up here. They go up in California. They go out of Texas. SpaceX has a launch like every day, if not two a day. It's crazy. He's going to put those satellites up there. I forget how many thousands of satellites are going to be part of the Starlink.
It was a lot.
It was thousands.
Yeah.
It's like 56,000 or something like that.
Yeah,
it's something
like
crazy.
60,000.
And I figured, oh, it would take them hundreds of years, but not according to SpaceX. They're going to be up there a lot quicker than we thought. Getting back to the Boeing thing, pilot Sunita Williams and Commander Butch Wilmore will be along this flight tonight for Boeing.
Very cool. Well, that's the key right there. This is a manned flight.
Oh, they're not kidding. They're going to the International Space Station.
Right. So we're talking about SpaceX, of course, you know, sending up the Starlink satellites, and people have gone up in the SpaceX flights. They've done that a few times.
And they've gone to the International Space Station.
They have, I guess. But this is the first time. What makes this one historic is, well, it's not SpaceX. It's Boeing.
Right.
But it's sending people up. So that's the first time that's happening. But also the first time that a private crew is doing a spacewalk, I believe.
Oh.
So I guess the SpaceX astronauts hadn't done a spacewalk, or I'm not sure how that one works, but that's what they said.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
These are NASA's two most experienced astronauts, by the way, aboard this flight tonight. Yeah. They've been doing it a long time.
So they're sending people who know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, and they're both older.
Right. Okay.
You know what? I'm sorry. I don't want to be the test pilot to go up in a new rocket. These people
they
are in a different realm than me. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. So if you happen to be up at 10:34 tonight, look up and look to the northeast.
Good. So, or 12:36 this afternoon.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That one might be harder to see. It's kind of cloudy. I don't know.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Let me look.
Uh-oh. Jen's leaving the studio. Jen!
Oh, I think it's going to be pretty good, actually.
Jen, can you see the rocket?
Not yet. Okay. Anyway. This is pretty cool.
Yes.
Alligator Super Hunt is on. We talked to the Python cowboy, Mike Kimmel, on Friday.
I was going
to
say, does this involve him?
Yeah, it probably does, because when I tell you he does everything, he does everything.
Right.
If it slithers, if it crawls, if it jumps, if it runs, if it swims, he catches it.
He's an impressive guy.
Yeah, it's crazy what he does. He needs his own TV show. I keep on telling this. Anyway, not only do you get the alligator harvest with Apple, you know, you got to get the hunter's license. Okay, you are allowed two alligators for most management areas. Okay, they tell you, okay, you can go here and you can catch two alligators.
Okay, so
however,
there's rules to it
with the alligator super hunt. You have the permission, if you have the owner's permission, to go on private property and catch an alligator. So if there's an alligator in your pond, okay, and you know it's there and it hasn't been able to get caught by, you know, Fish and Wildlife, maybe they show up, the alligator's nowhere to be found, between August 15th and November 8th, you can get one of those super hunt licenses. And you are allowed as a hunter to harvest two gators. So I guess it means four altogether. You get two regular and then two super hunt. So anyway, if you get a nuisance. And a lot of people have nuisance gators, as we well know.
Yeah.
You know, let's not go forget about that poor woman who was eaten in St. Lucie County just recently, you know, walking her dog around the pond, and everyone knew the alligator was there, or the guy that had his hand bitten off, his arm bitten off in, what is it, Naples?
It's so true. I mean, it's anytime you're near a canal or a lake or whatever it might be, you got to think twice about going too close to that water. Really be careful.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Do I have any time left?
Yeah, you got 30 seconds.
Okay, not enough time. So when we get back, we do rapid fires.
Oh, good gosh.
Second, you got to do that Nathan Wade story again.
Sure.
Please, because I don't think people are going to really... It's now going viral, and it's everywhere because of what a stupid thing this guy said.
It's really something.
But I get the best advice from people over 60... for people who are much younger than 60.
Okay.
And it sounds like something I tell my kids all the time, and no one listens to me, so maybe they'll listen to somebody else.
You try.
I try. Anyway, we'll do that when we get back right here at 850 WFTL.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Time for Jen and Bill's Rapid Fire on News Talk 850 WFTL.
This is where we all come to the table with various stories. And you can, you know, share them with your coworkers or your family and friends and sound intelligent. Well, we try to make you sound intelligent.
See.
It's the South Florida Morning Show. Bill's got the day off. Diener filling in. I'm Jennifer. Mine's all fluff because I am a firm believer the last rapid fire should have only good news in it.
I'm okay with that.
Okay. And on Fridays, it is nothing but seriously fluff.
Outstanding.
However, they did a survey and they asked people over 60 to give advice to kids. This is, you know, I would say like kids in college, kids in high school.
Okay.
What would you say to these children? Some of their advice I have said to my kids countless times. I don't know if they've ever listened to me.
Do they listen?
So that would be the question. It's like anything else. They listen to somebody else better. They include, stop trying to be friends with people who don't want to be your friend.
Yeah, of course.
You're going to beat yourself senseless.
Sure.
Stop trying to please everybody else and just make yourself happy. How about don't overwork? Stop cleaning. It's still going to be there tomorrow.
Oh, no. See, I can't. I'm too OCD.
I can't
listen to that.
You're kidding me. I clean the house before I leave and do 4 loads of laundry.
Oh, yeah.
But that's besides the point. Stop worrying about things that are out of your control. That took me to the age of probably 45 to 50.
That's one of the hardest things to do in the world, honestly.
You know, because you do. And the other part about it is enjoy life. Stop worrying so much and live day to day and actually enjoy things in life.
We should
be more like the Europeans have it right. You know, in many European countries, they shut down at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. They shut everything down to 6 o'clock. They take a siesta. They wake up again. They're open till 11, but they drink, they dance, they eat, they laugh, they share. This is why I loved Italy so much.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was great. And the food's phenomenal. And I gained about 10 pounds in 2 weeks, but that's besides the point.
Listen, you know, it's a stop and smell the roses mentality.
It is.
You know, you just got to slow down once in a while. It's hard, but anyway.
It's so true.
Now, boy, there's really no easy segue to this one, so I'm just going to jump right into it. Workplace affairs.
Oh, I've had 7 or 8 of them.
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm having one right now. So it's... Nathan Wade, who, if you know the name, that's the guy that was with Fannie Willis there in Georgia. She hired him to be the special prosecutor in Trump's Georgia election interference case. All, it turned out, as we now know, that they were having an affair. Not only were they having an affair, but they were being accused that basically she was giving him special treatment. That's why he got the special prosecutor's job, because they were having an affair and they're spending taxpayers' money on credit cards and everything like that to pay for their little getaways.
And some of them are really nice. Like, they went to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah.
They went to Rio. I mean, they went to, like, really nice places.
Yeah, really, really nice people, these two. So, now, they can't deny this happened because all the receipts literally are there. So, what does Nathan Wade do? What is his play here?
What was his play?
His play last night was to go on national television in an interview on one of those, you know, dopey news shows and say, listen, a workplace affair, everybody does this. It's as American as pie. This is what the guy said. I'm not making it up. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not putting words in his mouth. That is a direct quote. It's as American as pie. Everybody does it.
I'm sure.
I don't think it went over well with his wife.
Every woman at home right now is going, yeah, sure. My husband had an affair with somebody at work.
Everybody
I don't think I've ever dated anybody. Once, years and years ago. I dated a guy I worked with, and it didn't work well.
Oh, no.
At all.
What happened?
Oh, it ended horribly.
Oh, geez.
And then you got to work together.
Yeah.
But it wasn't an affair. It was like we were both single.
You were single.
It wasn't.
Right.
Yeah, it was. But I mean, it was a workplace romance.
Well, I've never had a workplace affair, so I don't know what Nathan Wade is talking about.
Okay, so affair, usually, it's typically one of them is married.
Yes.
If it's an affair.
Correct.
So, yeah, that's never had one of those.
No, neither have I.
Okay. That's nice to know. I don't want to be the one to tell your wife.
Well, you won't
be here if it happens. Put it that way. She'd kill you.
That's true. Yeah. But if it did, I would just say, look, Kristen, everybody does it. It's American as pie.
I had apple pie, too. No problem. Here you go. This is Madonna, as is officially done. Okay, be nice with her celebration tour.
Good.
By the way, I guess it was pay-per-view on Saturday night. And the only reason I know that is Tracy, our mutual friend and cohort, who works with us over at Sunny.
St. Tracy.
She loves. She would die and walk over hot coals for Madonna.
It's true.
She loves the woman. Her concert at Rio drew in 1.6 million fans to Rio's Copacabana Beach. It was free. Now, the location has seen larger crowds during past New Year's Eve celebrations, including Rod Stewart. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Wow.
1994. It was also New Year's Eve. 4 million people.
Whoa.
4 million.
Oh, my gosh.
4 million.
How do you even see that many people?
I don't know how you even
oh, that's
count
ridiculous.
That many people. The Rolling Stones, 2006, had 1.2 million.
Wow.
Apparently, Copacabana Beach in Rio is very, very large. I've never been there. I've only seen pictures of it.
That's insane.
But Madonna's biggest live crowd before this was only 130,000 fans. And this time she had 1.6 million.
I can't even
That's
imagine.
Incredible.
What was the concert in Central Park? It was Simon and Garfunkel.
Didn't
they have close to 1 million there?
Maybe.
Or am I over?
No. You're right. It was right? like, it's, I know either it was
Brooks
either
too.
Them or Garth Brooks. I'm trying to think of who had the biggest one. But it might have been Simon and Garfunkel.
Those were the two, though. I remember those. Yeah. It was just enormous.
I'll go look
crowd.
It up.
Oh, okay. Well, in the meantime, I'll finish things off with sports.
Sports
update. That's right. Sports update here on a Monday Rapid Fire. Because tonight, Jen.
Yes.
Is game one.
Yes.
In the National Hockey League. Oh. Second round matchup in the Stanley Cup playoffs between.
Who?
Your Florida Panthers.
Yes.
And the Boston Bruins.
Oh, God.
It's happening once
Isn't
again.
Isn't that amazing?
The now, Panthers
didn't,
and
didn't
Bruins.
The, didn't the Bruins lose last year?
They did.
See, now
I don't
it's,
think Bill spoke to me for like a week after that last year.
Yes, so now it's going to be, it's revenge time. So watch out, Panthers.
It could be. Listen, the Panthers look really good, but Boston survived a 7-game series. This was actually pretty amazing. On Saturday night was Game 7 in Boston, first round against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And there was no score. In the third period, Toronto scored to take the lead 1-0. 2 minutes later, Boston scores to tie it up at one. Ends up going into overtime.
Wow.
And Boston won in overtime, game seven at home.
What a way to go out, huh?
Amazing. So now...
good for them.
The rematch of last year. Boston was the... this isn't like, you know, an opinion. Record-wise, Boston was the best team in NHL history last year in the regular season.
Oh, were they? Really?
And they ended up getting upset in seven games to the Florida Panthers last year. In the first round, of course, the Panthers went on to the Stanley Cup, lost in the final 4-1 to Vegas. But now,
but
it's a
Vegas
rematch.
Is out. Didn't Vegas, Dallas beat them?
That's right. Vegas went out last night. The defending Stanley Cup champions are gone. They lost in seven games to the Dallas Stars. So you will have a new Stanley Cup champion this year. Maybe it's either the Boston Bruins or the Florida Panthers. But wow. The rematch begins tonight at Amerant Bank Arena. Puck drops at 8 p.m., Jen. Be there at B Square.
Okay, so watch the hockey game and then run outside and look up for the 1043 launch of the Boeing space
capsule. Perfect. It should be over just about then.
Okay, I did some research while you were talking about which concert was the biggest at Central Park. In 1982, Simon and Garfunkel did a free concert. It ended up being an album and one of their biggest selling albums. 500,000 people were there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Garth Brooks did the same thing. In 1997.
I was going to say 97. I remember that, yeah.
Over a million.
It was over, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Over
Garth
a million.
Brooks
was, I remember that.
Was twice the crowd.
Yeah.
But then again, you know what? It's probably better publicized.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I mean, there are
that
like 20, 30 years in between, you know. So in fairness to Simon and Garfunkel.
I love Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Garfunkel?
Well,
it's kind of like Kenny Loggins and Messina. Yeah. What happened to Messina? You know, it's like one of them always goes on to be huge in comparison to the other.
So it goes.
I have no idea what we're going to talk about when we get
That's
back,
fine.
But I got great news for you about Jimmy Kimmel because I know you love him so
oh,
much.
Oh, gosh. This is what I get from gloating that I beat
See?
You in the Kentucky Derby.
There you go. I'm going to get even yet because I don't care about the Kentucky Derby because my horse lost. Anyway, we'll talk about that and so much more when we get back right here at 850 WFTL. The SAP Florida Morning Show. Jennifer Ross, Bill Adams has time off. Diener's here. By the way, one of my friends just texted me. Thanks, Carol, and said it's nice to hear Diener's voice again.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I'll pay her your $5 when I see her next. Donald Trump, he was here all weekend. It started on Friday. He did a fundraiser. Saturday had a luncheon, and then Saturday night a fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago. Then he went to South Beach for the Formula One Miami Grand Prix.
Right.
I don't know who, and I'm sorry, I'm not a big Grand Prix person, and I don't know whose garage he visited, but he went to see somebody. I'm sure he knows the guy that owns the car. That's why he was there.
I think it was the McLaren team, actually.
It was.
They won. Yeah.
Yes, and they ended up winning.
They did.
So now Donald Trump's their good luck charm. So he's back in the courtroom. They're not saying, at least the prosecution, Alvin Bragg hasn't said anything after Hope Hicks, you know, she collapsed on the stage crying. All upset on Friday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was all because, you know, you're picking on Donald Trump and, you know, it's not right.
Very dramatic.
It did not look good for Alvin Bragg, put it that way. She painted Michael Cohen, who is like the star witness of this whole hush money thing, as being a very selfish, I only do stuff for myself and I only do stuff that benefits me kind of guy.
I can't believe they're going forward with all this stuff and they ignore all the other crime.
Well, then you know what? Don't worry. Those kids on campuses, they're not breaking laws.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, be prepared over the next probably couple of weeks. I think it'll probably happen if it hasn't already happened today. Israel's going to go into Rafah.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, that's going to be a really big story.
We have tried to tell Netanyahu, no, don't go in there. However, what Israel has said is they're going to send in the Israeli guard, and their main purpose the first couple of weeks is to evacuate people.
Yeah.
Once they get those people out, the Palestinians that are just basically pawns for Hamas. By the way, Hamas's leader, they found out, is underground probably 12 stories, and he is protected solely by Palestinian residents.
Oh, geez.
He is surrounded by them.
Goodness.
So that what Netanyahu's trying to do is let's get all the people that are innocent, that all these kids are allegedly screaming about on campuses, although I think it's just an excuse to say I hate the Jews. And that's my personal opinion, by the way, because of what I have seen. These kids are not nice kids.
Very misguided. That's for sure.
For kids who are very educated, very stupid.
Well, yeah,
they won't listen to common sense.
They don't know anything.
It's like, I don't know who taught you this stuff, but it's terrible. But anyway, they're going to get the Palestinians out that they can, and then they're going to go in and they're going to annihilate another city.
Yeah.
And the United States has already said, Joe Biden has already said, you do that, you're going to pay the consequences. So what is he going to do? Go bomb Israel?
You're
our
right.
biggest ally? Okay, sure.
Not
whatever you
happen.
Say, Joe. I don't know what you think you got coming, but it's not going to happen. What else has happened? Oh, what do these people have in common? Tim Scott, Marco Rubio, Kristi Noem, Elise Stefanik, Doug Burgum, and J.D. Vance.
What do they all have in common? They probably all bought a lot of stock and made money off it.
Yeah, well, they were all at Mar-a-Lago okay. on Saturday to be introduced as the vice presidential candidates. Oh, Vivek was there. However, he wasn't thrown into that same pot.
I think he's chief of staff.
I said that a long time ago. I don't think he wants to be a cabinet member. I think he wants to run things, and the best place to be is chief of staff.
You said Byron Donalds is on that list too, right?
Yes, he was.
If I had to pick two on that list, I would go with Byron Donalds or J.D. Vance.
See, I'm putting J.D. Vance up on top again.
Yeah.
Byron Donalds, there's a thing, and you can get around it. It can be usurped that the president and vice president can't be from the same state.
He has to change his residence in that case.
He's got Marco Rubio on it. So one of them will change their residence. Who is it going to be? I don't know where Donaldson's original. Where is he from originally? Isn't he from here, Byron? Isn't he from Florida?
Yeah, I think so.
So I don't think Trump's going to put New York back on. Maybe New Jersey.
He's
not going to do that. But so I'm going with J.D. Vance with Ohio because he needs help in Ohio.
Yeah, I see that too. I don't want to see Tim Scott. I like Tim Scott. He's a nice guy. I just don't like his stance on, you know, with wars and everything
He likes the fight.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Not a fan of that.
Okay. I leave you with, how much time do I have?
About 40 seconds.
Who Wants to Be a Millionaire is coming back to ABC for its 25th anniversary. In this new season, it's going to be celebrities are going to compete to win up $1 million for a charity of their choice. July 10th, write the day down. The only reason I share this with you, Diener, in 1999, Regis Philbin was the host. Who's going to be the host this time around? Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, no!
Your favorite person.
Oh!
You feel about Jimmy Kimmel like I feel about Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, so anyway. That is awful news.
Okay, we'll be back on that awful news for Diener. We'll be back tomorrow. You probably won't be back tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock, but we will. We would love to see you then. Thanks for being here today. Have a great day. And don't forget tonight, 10:37 about look up for the launch, 850 WFTL.